Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll,
God, it is well with my soul. Oh, that we can mean that as we sing it. God, as we sing, oh, glory be to Christ our King, as we sing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God, as we sing about death was arrested and our life began when you brought us grace. Lord, we've heard about your grace. We've sung about your grace. Now show us your grace through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We continue our series. It's entitled To Do, A Thessalonian Guide to Living on Purpose. And we're looking at the letter of 1 Thessalonians that Paul gave to the Thessalonian church. We did a quick summary of the first three chapters, and then we started in chapter 4 with a verse-by-verse look through chapters 4 and 5. Now, I want to tell you, we are going to stop a little bit short of finishing chapter 4, and we're going to start a little bit after chapter 5 begins. We're going to skip a part there. We will come back to that. It will be at the end of the series, though, where we talk about the second coming of Christ, where we talk about the rapture, we talk about all those things. That's in here. We're not skipping it in case you're wanting to hear about it. We're just moving it to the end of the series. Today, we're picking up with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. So let's look at that together. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. So Paul speaks to the Thessalonian church, and he says you need to respect the elders and the leaders who are among you, and then to be a part of what's happening. So in Paul's final instructions, he addresses the church body and tells them this. All of these elders and leaders would have been working some other type of trade, a job, something they were doing to earn a living, provide for their family, but then they were serving as shepherds and leaders and equippers and teachers in this body of believers. And scripture, though, is clear that we are all called to a life of ministry. You're a minister, I'm a minister, all God's children are ministers, okay? We're all called to a life of ministry. We are all called to be one in Christ, and we are called to be one because of Christ. And we're all responsible to study the Word of God, to maintain and grow our personal walk with Him. No exceptions. It's not a pastor's job to take care of your walk with Christ. In fact, the leaders, the elders and pastors are, the scriptures clear, are to help shepherd and equip us to be able to do that on our own. But scripture is also clear that he gives each of us different callings and giftedness in this body of Christ. Some are called to shepherd and to lead. So the request is to esteem them in love, it says. And I have to be honest. Our ministry team here of pastors and lay leaders, our servant leaders would tell you that we are very blessed with a large majority of people in our local body right here at First Baptist who esteem the leaders in love. I have to tell you, though, I have friends both right here in our city and far away in other places who are tasked with leading and loving congregations who refuse to be led and who struggle to be loved or loving. And so we want to pray for all faith families everywhere that this might be lived out in reality. Now, let me be clear, not every religious leader, not every shepherd, not every pastor is leading and loving well. The truth is sometimes work falls flat. There are those that just simply don't fulfill the biblical role of equipping or shepherding. And I'm not saying that you just give someone a license to do whatever they want forever. That is not what I mean either. The reality is, if you have a pastor or shepherd who will not equip, who will not lead, who will not love the people over and over and over again, what happens in a lot of churches, sadly, is they'll do nothing because they think, well, this is the leader. What do we do? Can I encourage you? These are strong words I'm about to say, but I'm going to say them because I believe them with all my heart. If we do nothing about something that has been wrong for an extremely long time, eventually your doing nothing sanctions what is taking place. So we can sanction incompetence. We can sanction a lack of love. We can sanction a lack of shepherding, and we should never do that. So I want to encourage us always to pray for our leaders, always to admonish them, support them, and be a part of that, even as the scripture says. But if each of us are doing our part of the King's call and what he's called us to, that's a picture of the gospel. But I've never seen the picture of the gospel that did not require grace. And I must be honest, as your pastor, I require some grace. It pains me to know that there are times I let somebody down. And it happens to people in this room. I wouldn't do it on purpose, but it sure happens. It's just a fact of life. Don't mean for that to be the case, but it's true. So we show grace to one another. We desire, and we hope all leaders do, to love and equip the body to live that out. Now, that's enough of that. Let's move to the next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 14. This is the meat of where we'll be today. It says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all." Now, that is quite a sentence. Let me say it again. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Now, remember, this entire letter, Paul is directing the church of how to treat other believers, how to take care of those among them. So he starts by saying, admonish the idle. Now, this is interesting because when we think of idle, we think of someone who's lazy. But that's really not what this means. Admonish the idle here, this word, the original word for idle, if you look in any Christian commentary, almost all of them will tell you the same thing. It's a military term for the idea of a soldier who gets out of step with other soldiers. If you're marching rank and file and one just can't do it with the others. So it's not lazy. It's someone who is walking out of step with everyone else. So when it says admonish the idle in your faith family, it says to admonish, encourage, strengthen, pull along, help those who are not walking in step with the mission of God. Let me help this make sense to you. For those of you who are my age, I'm 50. Those of you who are my age and older, think of the TV show Gomer Pyle, USMC. Who's seen that before? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. So when you think about that show, you'll even see the opening credits behind me here. You'll notice Gomer Pyle as he's marching that he smiles really big. He's not supposed to be smiling. He has a hitch in his step. He can't get it straight just right. That's the idea of what we're talking about. To admonish the idle is not lazy. It's someone, though, who is just not walking in the rank of what God is calling to do, not walking in step with what's there. So two questions for you this morning. Number one, if it's about not walking in step with the mission, well, what is the mission of the church? Now, if I were to give you time to respond, we might have different answers, but here's the short of it from Scripture. The mission of the church is this: glorify God, make disciples, and advance the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. The mission of the church is to glorify God, make disciples, and advance the kingdom of God. So here's the million-dollar question. Is your life in step with the mission of God? This is not about everyone marching together perfectly. We're not all supposed to do the same things or look the same way. We're not soldiers on parade. This is about each of us having a life that is focused on glorifying God, on making disciples, and advancing the kingdom of God. This is about living out the gospel and about living for the gospel. So one last question for you. With that in mind, would Paul consider you to be idle? Would Paul consider me to be idle? Am I walking in step with the mission of God, or am I walking among my own mission that maybe includes God, but it's not his mission? Ponder that for a moment. Let's keep going. Next, it says this: admonish the idle and encourage the faint-hearted. The faint-hearted, the best way to define it is this: the faint-hearted are those who give up when the tough gets going. So when the going gets tough, it's those who give up. We've heard the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, the idea here is when the going gets tough, the faint-hearted give up. It's those that would be walk away from what God is doing among us. I have to tell you, as a pastor, as a minister for 33 years, as a pastor for a good bit of that time, there's nothing more sad to me than to work with and watch and pray for faint-hearted Christians in other churches, and I've served a few churches over the years, and to be honest, in this church right here, just the same. There are those that would fall into this category of faint-hearted. It's someone that maybe they're rocking along and things are going okay, and then something goes wrong. And so instead of leaning into what God is doing, instead of digging deeper into the Word of God, instead of rallying around community that we all need, the one another's, the verses that tell us that, instead they back away, they stay at home, they pull back, they withdraw, they stop reading God's Word. Listen, the worst time to pull away from the Lord and from the church is when life gets tough. Amen? That's the truth. That's the worst time to pull away. In fact, when life gets tough for me, I need you the most. There are friends in this room that when things get tough for me, I will call just to say, I need some prayer today. Or some people you can walk in community with. Listen, I want to encourage you today, don't let a family member, don't let a circumstance, don't let a lazy disposition keep you from living, worshiping, and growing in community with other believers. We need each other, right? Look to the person next to you and say, we need each other. Reach out and touch somebody. I'm not, we don't sing that. We do. We need each other. We do. It's just the truth of the matter. So I want to encourage you because I have seen it. People who maybe are new in the Lord, maybe they've been in church a while, but still when things go wrong, they just back away. They withdraw to themselves. Listen, I don't know how to say it except to be as straightforward as I can. You have to make a determination to be self-focused or God-focused. And if you are self-focused, you will withdraw to yourself every single time. And if we are God-focused, we will realize that I need the other God-focused believers around me. I need the truth of God's word. I need my time with him. So I want to admonish you and encourage you to realize this. When things are difficult, don't get rid of the very things you need to grow in intimacy with God. Your prayer life, your time in God's word, and the community with other believers. We need each other. I need you. And you need me. Together, we make a difference. So I encourage you with that. Let's keep going. It says again in verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. This idea of help the weak, this phrase implies grab a hold of the weak. Hold on to the weak. There's a couple of translations that say hold fast, like hold them up to the weak. So this idea is that each and every believer in this room, if you know Jesus, we are all called to support someone who is newer in the faith or more weak in the faith than we are. Now, there are reasons we might be weak in the faith. Let me give you a few. And let me define what I would say the scripture talks about as weak in the faith. Paul is very quick to say that anyone who is walking in legalism, if it's all about rules and regulations, if you are in legalism, Paul says you are weaker in your faith. Look at Romans 14 on your own later. You'll see it there. He's very specific about that. And so if you know someone who is weaker or less mature, listen, I want to encourage you to realize that person needs a grace awakening. So instead of walking in a list of do's and don'ts and rules and regulation and trying to hold everyone to a certain judgment when they themselves cannot abide by that, pray for them. Pray that God would give them a grace awakening. Pray that they can walk in that. So, and if you find yourself with touches of legalism in your heart and in your mind, I want to encourage you to mature beyond that. Now, that doesn't mean you just do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we've wrapped up the idea that our walk with Christ is about how perfect we can be, you've missed the whole point of the gospel. And that what he does through us and in us, and that he calls us to life and new life as we live that out for him. So help the weak. If you know someone that's steeped in legalism, help them. Pray for them. Pray for God to show them. Maybe, though, the weaker believer that you know is simply someone who's just not mature to the point you have. Then you may say, Chris, I don't know how mature I am. I assure you there's someone who still needs what you know already. So if I can give you three key words, I don't think they're even going to show up on the screen, but these three words, if you're writing things down, this is how you can help someone who is newer or less mature in the faith. Encourage them with grace, encourage. Teach, second word, teach them truth that they have yet to learn, that you know. And then show them how to discover God's word on their own. Listen, I'm telling you, if you can do those three things, if you can encourage somebody with grace, teach them truth that they've yet to learn, and then show them how to find God's word and study on their own, you know what you will be?
a disciple maker. That's discipleship. That's disciple making. We really can boil it down to be that simple. To teach, to encourage, to teach, and to show. So each and every one of us in this room can disciple somebody. You can and are called to help someone grow in Christ. So my question this morning is this: who are you discipling? Can you name them? If not, think about someone that you know needs to come along in their faith. So you want to begin to pray for them and see if you can't grow in relationship to help them. It might be a grandchild, it might be a child, it might be a neighbor, a coworker, a customer. I don't know who it is, but someone that you can encourage them with God's grace, teach them some truth that they don't know of God's word, and then show them how they can study it for themselves. You can make disciples. Look at verse 14 one more time. It says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." He says, be patient with those who don't walk in step with the mission of God. Be patient with those who back away and withdraw once a month. You see them for 2 months and then they're gone for 3 years. Be patient with those who are weak, who are not mature in their faith, who need some help to grow. Be patient with them. I got to be honest. Confession time here. I really believe with all my heart, I am one of the most patient people you could imagine to people who don't know Jesus. Because I realize if they don't know Jesus, they're not going to act like Jesus. But boy, there are some Christians. I shouldn't look around when I say that. I saw you, but I'm not going to say who it was. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna. There are some believers that my patience is about that long with because they should know better. But the scripture here says this, Chris, be patient with them all. Now, can I encourage you with something? Please don't miss this. Your response to those who need help is just as critical as their need for help. Your response to the person who needs help is just as critical as their need for help. Patience is not easy. Ulrich Ruffert said this, "Patience is the ability to put up with people that you'd like to put down." I'll say it again. Patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. Think about that last person you put down in conversation. You weren't patient. Patience is the ability to put up with that. Ouch, right? Amen or oh my, what's it for you there? In my own life, I want to be patient. I need to work on this. There are several Greek words used throughout all the New Testament when you see the word patience. This one very specifically means, here it is, be slow to anger. That's the idea of this type of patience, be slow to anger. So here's what I've learned over the years. Being slow to anger is more about me than it is about the other person. So there are times that I can have so much patience, and then there are times that my patience is non-existent. It's selective, and if it's selective, it means I can make a better decision those times that I choose not to. And so I want to encourage you with the same way. The command is to be patient with them all. That is not easy, but that's a picture of the gospel. And it will help those who need to come along and be encouraged. So, all this scripture, that's the only verse we're going to cover today. What does this scripture say to us? If you look at the to-do list of our entire series so far, here's what we've said. Now remember, it's not that you have check boxes and you do it one time and you check the box, you're done. This is the idea when you wake up in the morning every day, when your feet hit the floor, you want to say, God, I want to live out these principles today. And if I can live these principles, everything's going to be okay. So here they are, starting back for the beginning of our series. The foremost thing that we should decide to do each and every day, the top of our to-do list, is to please God. If we can make a decision to please God today in what we do, where we go, what we say, how we act, how we react, how we help someone, how we stop, how we slow down. Listen, life is lived so fast, we can get so busy, we don't slow down. Jesus showed us how to walk slowly through the crowd. Can I encourage you that if you really want to be like Jesus, just slow down. Walk slowly through the crowd.
You say, what does that mean? What I mean is you look at the people around you. You interact with those he puts in front of you. You stop and deal with people one neighbor at a time. Take who he does. Now listen, that's not easy. But Jesus lived his life on purpose. So I encourage you, if we want to please him, let's do what Jesus did. The second to-do list that we have for us is this. We did this a couple of weeks ago. Show brotherly love to believers. Again, to believers, show them a love that exists between children of the same father. Show them what that looks like. And then the tough one we talked about a couple of weeks ago, live quietly and mind your own affairs. Man, that's hard. But we can work on living that out. And then to live a life of personal responsibility. And then we're adding to that to-do list today these three things. Live in step with the mission of God. We wake up each day and we say, God, how can I glorify you today? How can I make a disciple today? And how can I advance your kingdom today? Before the day is over, what can I do to do that? We want to walk in step with the mission of God. Second, encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. You will encounter someone who's faint-hearted, who is pulling away from the faith every day. You don't have to go far to find them. You will encounter someone who is weaker in their faith than you every single day. You may not have to leave your house to find them, but you sure won't have to go far to find them. So let our calling be to encourage the faint-hearted and to help the weak, to disciple them, to bring them along, to offer them grace and mercy instead of judgment, to throw some rope instead of a stone, and help pull them out from whatever's going on to encourage them to walk through that process. But I'll be honest, if you're going to encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak, you're going to get your hands dirty. You have to get involved in what's happening. You have to bend down on your knees to get on their level to whatever's going on to encourage them. And then lastly on our to-do list for today is this, practice patience. Practice patience. And remember, this is really more about you than about the other person. Now, when I think about how I can live these things out today, I'm going to be honest for a moment. When it comes to living in step with the mission of God, I have to determine, am I going to be God-focused or self-focused today? And I have to tell you, just because I'm a pastor, I've told you guys this before, but let me say it again. At my house, the five of us, we don't sit around the table, hold hands, and sing kumbaya. We do not. Everything's not about that. Every day I've got to make the same decision you do. Am I going to be focused on myself today or am I going to be focused on God today? We got to make a decision daily. I would encourage you to choose that. And when it comes to encouraging the faint-hearted, can I give you a practical way to do that? Let me just talk real for a moment. Our faith family, we have moved to two services well over a year ago. After we had our initial stop after COVID, so that we wouldn't be so crowded in the room at one time, we wanted people to be able to spread out. So we moved to two services. And of course, at first, it was only way less than half that were back. But then over the course of a number of months, we rocked along in the middle of even COVID and all the things that were happening. And with the momentum that came, when in the last couple of months, you could take the attendance of the early service and the second service and put them together with all of our children and children's ministry. And the number is greater than we had pre-COVID. We're larger church than we were before then. Now, I say that, you say, that sounds wonderful. That's great. God's doing great things. Hear me say this, though. I also believe it's an accurate statement. We've tried to really pay attention and check that we have been blessed beyond measure with about 30% of our regular attendance over the past 6 to 8, 9 months have been new people. New people that God has sent, which is wonderful, and we're so thankful for that. And it's a blessing to know that if God's sending people to connect and be involved, that helps the mission of God. It's not about how big we can get. It's about how many people can we send out 7 days a week to live the gospel. Okay, that's important. That's important. Don't miss that. I used to teach, and I read this not long ago in a book, and I loved it so much because I've taught the illustration that we are a battleship, not a cruise ship, and it's true. I mean, a cruise ship, everybody does something for you. You pay a little money, you get some good service, you like the music, it's all enjoyable. Someone's your cruise director, they take good care of you, and then you're just moving along together, but no one's really living life together, and that's not the picture of the church. It shouldn't be, but it's the picture of some churches. It shouldn't be. But the battleship idea that it's all hands on deck, everybody
has a job to play. I love that analogy, but I found a better one. Because a battleship is not really the right analogy either. It's not about the church doing something collectively together. It really is. Think of us more as an aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier never wants to face a battle at the aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier carries a battle group with it. It's designed that they want to keep the fight away from the aircraft carrier. The aircraft carrier carries the people, equips the people, and the equipment to send them out to do the fighting. Listen, the church is an aircraft carrier. We are not, listen, it's not about can we get everybody in here and we'll say that we're beating Satan in some way. The idea is, can we have people come here who grow in their faith, are discipled, and then are sent out to live that 7 days a week? The battle is there. And so, friend, that's our calling. But I say that to you to say this. When you stop and you reflect on the idea that we have 30% new people, but our attendance is just slightly larger than it was pre-COVID, if some of you are smart enough with the math, and I know you are, that means there's maybe 20% of our folks who were regular attenders before the beginning of 2020 that are no longer with us. Now, some of those have to be at home for health reasons. We pray for them. We encourage them. You need to call and connect with them and encourage them to be a part and let them know that we pray for them and we consider them a part. I cannot imagine what I know some of our folks are going through because of health issues who have to stay away. I just can't imagine how hard that is for them. And we grieve for that for them. But there's a decent amount of people that just simply developed a habit of not going to church. The cares of life came along, worries came along, situations came along, and where the habit was there to come, we went a while without it, and the reality is they're just not coming. I'm not talking about those that are at home for physical reasons, but others that have just decided to stay home. Friends, let me be clear, that is what the scripture would refer to in the faint-hearted. And so the question is, for you and for me, how can we encourage the faint-hearted? All of us know someone who has lost their habit of community with believers or who has lost their passion of spending time with other believers, whether it's from this church or another church. Can I encourage you? You want to live out the to-do list. You want to encourage the faint-hearted. You start today by praying for that person, praying for the Holy Spirit to help them realize their need to walk in fellowship and community with other believers. It's not about just getting them to church. Pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in their life to help them be drawn to God's word, to be drawn to close, intimate relationship with him. So if you know someone, pray for them and then reach out to them. Invite them here. Invite them back to their own church, whatever the case may be, but pray that they will make that opportunity. This is somewhat of a crisis for the church in America, and especially here in the Bible Belt. Listen, you ask any pastor you want around, a lot of them will say, well, our numbers are back to what they once were. Not that numbers are the be-all, end-all, but you start asking, well, is it all the same people? No. God has sent new people to a large degree, so there's a lot of people somewhere not going to church anywhere, not connected anymore. They've walked away from community in that regard, or they have simply decided that they do not need the life of walking in Christ in his word. So can I encourage you, come and pray for them. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And when we do, I want to invite you, if you know someone who falls in that category of the faint-hearted, they kind of back away when things get tough, and you want them to grow in their walk with Christ, you want them to know what it means to live in community and lean in when that comes, I would encourage you just to come and kneel and pray for them. If you can't kneel, maybe come sit on the front row and pray for them. But take an act of sacrifice to get to move and to pray for them. Listen, you say, I'm not sure I know anybody. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you know people. There are people on your roll that you know you have not seen in such a while. Would you be burdened for them and pray for them? Like family members, pray for them. Maybe, though, it's not about someone who's just walked away from a church, the church, whatever the case may be. Maybe it's just that one who's weaker in their faith and they're struggling to see the grace of God. They're struggling to see how he could forgive them and move in their lives. They're struggling to understand the importance of time and his word. Come and pray for them. Maybe you yourself find yourself struggling in some ways. I would love to pray with you.
Would love to encourage you. Maybe you've got a decision to make. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe God's calling you to follow through with believers' baptism. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. Whatever God is saying, would you respond to him today? Pray with me, please. Father, help me to live in step with your mission. Help me to encourage the faint-hearted. Help me to help those who maybe have not come to know the Lord the way I have or haven't grown in their faith the way others have in this room. Lord, help me to practice patience. Lord, I'm not always a patient person. God, help us to respond with the gospel and with gospel urgency into the lives of other believers around us. Lord, our desire is not just to run off and leave folks who have not returned in a year and a half. That's not our desire. Oh God, may we encourage them. May we throw a lifeline to them. May we pray for them. Would you do a work in their lives? Father, we want to see them grow in their walk with you. Father, for others here today that maybe they realize they're not lazy by any means, but Father, maybe they're idle in the sense that they're not walking in step with your mission. They've been following their own mission. God, will they come and just pray? If I can be an encouragement to help them, may they come. Father, please have your way among us. Lord, your will be done in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.